Luke chapter number 2. If you're familiar with the scriptures, the chapter before that, chapter number 1, we read that the angel Gabriel had come to the Virgin Mary and told her that the Holy Ghost was going to come upon her and she was going to conceive and have a son. She was going to give birth to a son. And the angel said to Mary, and when he's born, when he comes, name him Jesus. Name him Jesus. Let me stop right there for a moment. There's no name in the world like Jesus. Soon afterwards, Mary left her homeland, her home city, and she went to visit her cousin Elizabeth, who too was expecting a son, a baby son. And outlined in chapter number 2, we have the story of the birth of the Lord Jesus. And I'm going to read from the 8th verse through the 14th verse. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And all the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them. And they were so afraid. And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all men, all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts, praising God, and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Two words in the 11th verse that I'd like to mention to begin with before I come to the sermon proper. And they are Savior and Christ. The word Jesus means Savior. In the Old Testament, the Hebrew is Joshua or Yeshua. And in the New Testament, Jesus, meaning Savior. Now I'll make one other statement. Maybe this is, you haven't noticed this or read this anywhere. Only 2 times in the Gospels is Jesus called Savior. This is one. And the other time is in the 4th chapter of John, where Jesus is called Savior. And then the other word that I want to mention is Christ. Means the anointed one. It's the Greek equivalent of the Messiah. So I want everyone to understand, Jesus did not have his beginning in Bethlehem in a manger. Jesus is everlasting. He laid aside all the glory and the splendor of heaven and came to this earth and took upon himself the form of man. He is the Christ of glory, the anointed one. The promised Messiah. Thank God. Thank God. The angel was saying the promised Messiah has come. The Christ of glory, the Savior of man, has come. And then in the 13th verse, and suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. One other thought that I would like to bring to our attention. Only one other time in Scripture do we find the heavenly host, the angelic choir, singing in such a manner. Another concert by the heavenly choir. Only one other time. The Bible tells me that it was at the dawn of creation, when God laid the foundations of the earth and placed the cornerstone in place. When you read the book of Job, the Bible tells us the morning stars sang together and all the sons of God shouted for joy. A long time before Abraham, a long time before Noah, a long time before Adam. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and that's when time began. And when God created the heavens and laid the foundation, the Bible says, and the sons of God, the angelic host, sang for joy, praising God and magnifying God. The only other occasion, except here, magnifying and praising God at the birth of Jesus. In today's scripture, in Luke's gospel, we're told that the heavenly choir sings the first Christmas carol. The first recorded Christmas carol. Magnifying God, praising God, giving glory and thanksgiving to God. Only ones out there were the Judean shepherds the lonely shepherds of the hills of Judea, and the host of heaven begins to sing in concert, bringing glory to God, singing good tidings of great joy to all people. Some might ask the question, Brother Jones, why? Why? Nothing but shepherds in the field in the middle of the night. Why would God send such a host of angelic beings to sing on this occasion? And I believe I have the answer straight from the Bible, because it was the greatest event of the ages. The greatest event of the ages. Nothing like it has ever taken place. Never had happened like this, and never will happen. The event of the ages, and I've mentioned this before, the very calendar that we use goes back to the birth of Jesus. From the beginning to the birth of Jesus, before Christ, and anno Domini after Christ, after all dates back to the coming of the Lord, the greatest event, the event of the ages, the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me stop there and just throw something in that's just come to my mind. We are having a difficult time in America putting Christ in Christmas. The secular world, and we're living in a secular age. Secular humanism is a religion. And they are fast growing in America. And secular humanism is trying to do away with everything that brings Christ out. And there's one governor of one of the states of America that will not have anything to do with Christmas. He has a holiday tree. And everything is a holiday this or a holiday this. I thought, why have a holiday if it doesn't mean Christmas? Keep this in mind. Whatever the world does, be sure to keep Christ in your heart and life. Make Christmas real, because Jesus is real. Hallelujah, hallelujah. It's the end of the ages. Without that event, without the birth of Christ, without the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, there would be no cross of Calvary. There would be no redemption for lost man. There would be no forgiveness of sin. There would be no resurrection. There would be no rapture of the saints. There would be no promise of a home in heaven. Be none of that except for the birth of Jesus. Aren't you glad? Thank God, thank God. The angel said to the shepherds, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." And as I was preparing the sermon and reading over my notes this morning before I left home, I thought that when the angel said unto the shepherds, "For unto you," and I thought I could point out to you this morning, it's unto you, and you, and you, and you, and you, for unto you the Lord has come, amen. He's come for us and all of mankind. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. That is an indisputable fact, a Bible truth. And I'm grateful there are those that are trying to tear down the Scripture, trying to rewrite the Bible. We have a movement on in the fundamental or the evangelical world today. There is a movement to revamp the Bible, to rewrite the Bible. Mary wasn't a virgin. It wasn't the Holy Ghost that came upon her that she conceived. There was a Roman soldier, or there was someone else, but not God. Her giving birth was not something that was miracle or immaculate. And they're rewriting the Bible, and the tragedy is, listen to what I tell you now, the tragedy is some on the committee or from Pentecostalism and from Baptists and from some other denominations of America. Revamping. I want to share something with you as your pastor. There's not one iota, one verse, one part of that Bible that needs to be revamped. We need to take it like it is. Live it. You'll find that it'll do wonders in your life. It changes hearts and lives. Hallelujah, hallelujah. This is an indisputable Bible truth that God gave His Son, the Lord Jesus. Thank God for the birth of the Savior. Thank God for Jesus. Thank God for Christmas. One other thought that I would like to bring to our attention here. For the shepherds, the Bible says, God had an angelic choir to announce the birth of His Son. And I stopped and I was thinking about that. I thought, What a time that must have been. Then the Bible says the wise men, they didn't hear the angelic choir, but God placed a special star. Oh, beautiful star of Bethlehem. Placed a star that they might see that the Messiah has come. And then there's Mary. I've mentioned the shepherds with the angelic host and the singing. And the wise men with the star, but for Mary, it was altogether different. She didn't hear the choir sing. She didn't see the star. God sent one of His angels, the Archangel Gabriel, a personal visit. And she came to Mary. He came to Mary and said, "Thou art highly favored. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women." Let me read that again. When Gabriel came to visit Mary, he said, "Thou art highly favored. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women." Then Gabriel went on to tell Mary how that she is going to conceive, how the Holy Ghost is going to come upon her, how that she is a virgin, is going to have a child. It's going to be a miracle. But listen closely. It was not an easy time. Some people might say, "Oh, Brother Jones, that must have been a blessed thing for her to be able to give birth." Listen, she was a young girl. She's not married. She's become pregnant. People don't understand. They refuse to listen to her story. I don't believe that. We've never heard such a thing, a virgin giving birth. It's never happened. There was ridicule and mockery and shame and all the rest. But Mary was willing to bear the Christ child, regardless of the price. And if you and I serve God, we'll have to make up our minds we're going to serve Him whatever it costs. We haven't paid any price at all in America. And I've often thought in my own life, would I be willing to go through what some have gone through? In that land, or in that land, how did they have been imprisoned and beaten and the rest? Their wives have been taken from them and some of their children have been killed before their eyes. Would I have been willing to hold on to God at such a time? Brother, I believe the power of God is just as real today as it's always been. God can help us and God will. Gabriel told her about how she was going to have a child. And it would be mocking and ridicule and the rest. But in the midst of it all, I believe these are some words that sustained Mary during those 9 months. These are the words that gave her strength. These are the words that kept her going when it seemed like everyone was turned against her. The angel said, "The Lord is with thee. The Lord is with thee." Then he reads it again. "Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women. The Lord is with thee." Let me stop right there. I believe that the Lord is with us, brother. We can keep on going. Hallelujah. Whatever the trial, whatever the problem, whatever the difficulty, if God is with me, I believe I can cross the finish line with victory. Amen. Hallelujah, hallelujah. The Lord is with me. That makes all the difference in the world. 700 years earlier, the prophet Isaiah said these words, "Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel." Say, "Shall call his name Emmanuel." And later on, in the book of Matthew, the Gospel of Matthew, when he was writing with the anointing of God, he said, "But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him, unto Joseph in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. She shall bring forth a son. Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." I say this morning, let me read the 33rd verse, "And she shall bring forth a son." Now all this was done that he might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, "Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel," which being interpreted is God with us. Let me say that one more time. The angel said to Mary, the Lord is with thee. And now God is saying to us, God with us. I'm glad I can tell you right now, God is here. I'm going to go a step further. When I walk out that door and out the front, get in that automobile with my wife, on our way to lunch or on our way home, I've got good news today for my wife and for me. God will be in that van with us. When you go to bed tonight, God will be with you. When you wake up tomorrow morning, God will be with you. If you'll serve God, if you'll obey God, if you'll love God, He will never leave you nor forsake you. He said, "Lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the age." God with us! That ought to cause us to shout today and give glory to God. The Lord is with us! Amen, amen, amen. In every part of life, I jotted down three things. What a glorious thought. What a wonderful truth. What a blessed reality. God with us. I'm going to use two or three illustrations. When Jacob left home, as we've discussed in Bible study on Wednesday nights, on that first night he came to a place called Luz. While he was asleep, he had a dream of the angels ascending and descending, and at the top of the ladder, Almighty God, there was a ladder reaching into heaven, and God began to promise Jacob some things. This is one thing that he said: "Behold, I am with thee, and will keep thee in all places whither thou goest." Here he is running from his brother. His brother's out to kill him. He's trying to spare his life. He's put a lot of miles that day. He's tired. He lays down to go to sleep, and God begins to speak to him in a dream, and God says, "Jacob, I'm with you." He's just starting. That is a wonderful thought if you're just starting with the Lord. He's with you. Thank God. He'll provide. He'll keep you. He'll protect you. I jotted this down, and then after I'd gotten the sermon, and I mentioned last Wednesday night, what I was going to be preaching about, because I'd been preparing Monday and Tuesday, and I didn't know what was going to happen in Connecticut Friday, but I'm going to leave this with you. When God says, "I am with thee," I believe He's saying, "I'm with thee in school. I'm with thee on the job. I'm with thee in the home. I'm with thee at work. I'm with thee wherever. If you serve God, God said, I am with thee." Somebody might say, "Well, Brother Jones, where was he last Friday, when that terrible, evil person took the lives of 20 innocent children? Where was God?" I'll tell you where he was. He's reaching out his hand across America, saying, "Come back to me. I love you. I love you, I love you. Come back to me." God is still on the throne. He's still in control. That did not catch God off guard. He said to Jacob, "I am with thee." And Jacob said, "This place is called Luz, but from now on it's going to be named Bethel, the house of God. I have met with God." If you've met with God somewhere, brother, that's a special place. When God comes on the scene, He says, "I am with thee." I go a little bit further in the Bible. I come in the Old Testament, remembering that God is with us in our daily lives. But in the Old Testament, God said to His people, the chosen people of Israel, "When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee." I say, amen. God said to the nation of Israel, "I brought you out of Egypt. I am with thee, amen. Whatever you go through, whatever the obstacle, whatever the enemy might do, I am with thee." If God is with us, we're going to make it. Hallelujah, hallelujah. That promise is good for those of us living in the New Testament age of grace. In the New Covenant, He will be with us regardless of the trial, regardless of the tribulation, regardless of the hardship. I have been assigned by my wife to get out the Christmas cards, to write in the Christmas cards. I sent one to a friend of ours that we met in the church where we got saved. We met them in 1954. I wrote a note because we have been in contact all these years. I wrote a note to Bill and Elsie. We got a Christmas card the very same day that I mailed it. That Bill passed away last August. She said, I didn't realize that they had been married 65 years. I didn't realize he was that old. But then I got to looking at the obituary column that she sent. He wasn't that old. They got married young. And she said, I miss him so much. But then she wrote in the card, but I know there's going to be another day. If you've got God with you, you've got hope. There's going to be another day where the trials and tribulations and hardships and sickness, and that's been in my home and been in your home, and sometimes I feel as if, why I love God and I serve God, and why has this happened to me? Why has this come to our family? Why has this come to my children? And whatever it might be, I want you to know in the midst of it all, when you realize that God is right there with you, and God said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you, when you can reach out and touch Him, hallelujah, we sing the chorus, reach out and touch the Lord as He passes by, when you know He's right there in the living room, or the den, or the kitchen, or wherever you are, you know He's right there with your brother, you ought to rejoice. Hallelujah, hallelujah. He said, Jacob, I will be with thee. Thank God. I went on further in the Bible. I came to Matthew chapter 18. It says in the 21st, for where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst. He is with us. I jotted down some things and I'd like to present them to you. Sometimes, in your private devotions, you might feel like, am I making any headway? Remember, God is right there. Ladies, on Tuesday morning, when you gather together, seven of you, gather together in the classroom to pray every Tuesday morning at 9:30. Sometimes you might realize, you know, feeling as if, I wonder, is there any benefit? There is benefit. God's with you. Yesterday morning we met here at 8:30. The monthly prayer meeting on a Saturday morning to pray. Sometimes we've had greater crowds than others, but every time we've had a good group. And when we finish praying, we join hands around this altar, join in a circle and praying, and God's presence has been real. I want to let everyone know God has been with us every Saturday morning we've ever met. Sometimes when we have men's fellowship, sometimes men cannot come, and most of the time we have a goodly number, and time of devotion, and time of prayer, and time of work, but God said, I will be with thee, and God's been with the men in fellowship, He's been with us in Sunday school, in children's church, in Wednesday family night, in Bible study, our God is good. I will be with thee. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'll just give a testimony. I don't know whether everyone understands it or not, but preachers have feelings. And sometimes some things happen that it affects preachers just like it does deacons and everybody else. But one other thing I want to mention. The same God that the church folks have, and the deacons have, and the teachers have, and the pastor have, is God. And if God is with us, we're going to make it. Some of you are suffering every time you take a step. It's been that way for months. And we've prayed and seemed like nothing happened, and somebody else over here gets healed, and the devil puts a question in your mind, why do they get healed and I don't get healed? But in the midst of it all, He's going to go with us. And when that trumpet sounds, He's going to be with us. When we cross over to the other side, we're going to have an abundant interest because He's with us. He's with us. He's with us. Hallelujah. I thought as well, in the 92nd chapter of the book of Psalms. I've mentioned on the job, in the school, at home, as you're growing up, and all the rest. 92nd Psalm says, those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall bring forth fruit in old age. The psalmist had not gotten caught up with politically correct, or he would have said the golden years. But he said, those that are planted in the house of the Lord, those that have an experience with God, those that know the Lord, who love Him with all their heart, they've been planted by God, they've grown in the Lord, they're stalwarts for the Almighty God. He says of them that they will flourish in old age. I believe God can use young people. I believe God can bless the teenagers. I believe God can bless those in the middle age. But thank God He's still God when you get old. When you get older. He's not finished with us yet. God is good. And then I thought of one other scripture in the 23rd Psalm. David is writing, he said, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. What's the rest of that verse? For thou art with me. You know, testify. When I got saved with my wife in 1955, in this part of the church, way over yonder in Idaho. From the time I got up from that altar, I realized that I was not alone. He was with me. We left that very year and went to England for 3 years. Away from my parents. Just been saved in February. Now we're leaving in July and August and headed. They got our papers mixed up, and we were home for 60 days before we finally left. But we finally sailed in the fall of 1955 for England, and arriving there, we couldn't find a church. We went to the Baptist church, we went to the Methodist church, we went to the Salvation Army, looking for a place to go. We heard about the Assemblies of God, and we went there in Lake and Heath, and then we heard about a new church just getting started, and God said, let us to go there. We went there and later moved there to Bury St. Edmunds and worked in a new church for those years that we were in England. The reason I'm saying all of this, there was times in that time that were difficult. If you've never been around English folks, and especially in some parts of England, we happen to be in Suffolk County. And in Suffolk, they're known to be very, very reserved. Good people in the church, but very reserved. No close friendship amongst those of our age. We had some GI friends in the church, and we had a good time together. But some things happened. There were times when we were alone. One Christmas, no G.I. nor his wife was with us. It was a lonely time. Some things had happened. Some had left and all the rest. And the English folks were very reserved and we were just all alone. But I was thinking about that even as I was preparing the sermon. And even then, God was with us. And when we've gone through some difficulties in life, looking back, God has been there. I just want to testify today to say, thank God, You've been there all the time. You've watched over us, You've taken care, You've blessed us and supplied every need of our lives. And when David comes down to the last part of the 23rd chapter, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I could tell you that I started out a long time ago serving God as a boy, and I went back on God. Then I got saved when I was a teenager, went into the service as a Christian, and went back on God and failed God. But when my wife and I came back to God, we made up our mind, we're going to love You and serve You, God. And I say this today as humbly as I know how. He has been mighty good to us. He's been with us every step of the journey. And here we are, nearing the end of the journey. If the Lord tarries, this is not planned to be my last sermon. I hope you know that. Don't take it that way. But I don't know when I'm going to preach the last sermon. But I realize that we're nearing the end of the journey. And I also realize this. He's just as real at the end of the journey as He was at the beginning. When I got saved, I wanted to tell everybody how good He is. You know what I want to do today? Tell everybody how good He is. He's with us. He said to Mary, the angel said to Mary, the Lord is with thee. He says to us today, the Lord is with us. And the Christmas story is a blessed one. Not only does it tell us of the birth of Jesus, it speaks of His being with us throughout life, from the beginning of our salvation until the end, until we arrive at the last mile of the journey. Now I'm going to close. We're going to pray. I tried to share this with you today, that His name is Jesus. Emmanuel, God with us. All the way to the trumpet sounds, but I want to go one step further. When you lay down to die, David said He'll be there. I want to go one step further. And when the last breath is taken, and your spirit is escorted to heaven, you breathe your last breath, I'll tell you what I believe. He will be there. I'll not have to cross Jordan alone. He'll be there with me. Hallelujah. He is with us. My wife has come to the piano. We're going to sing Redeeming Love. Did we sing that a while ago? We didn't. Redeeming Love, honey. I want to be personal here, and we're going to close. And I'm not going to try to name everyone but Tommy, your family and Village family. Remember what I tell you now. God is with you. Curtis, Anita, Mary Jane. I thank God for what He's done in your lives, Curtis and Anita. I thank God. And Mary Jane, having lost your husband, a part of this church that we loved this year, it's not been easy. But God has said, I'll be with you. And sometimes when you felt like you couldn't go another mile, God's there. Brother Lou, Sister Christine, May Ellen, I point you out, God's with you. I'm not going to take time to name everyone, but please understand, that's not just some special somebody out there. He loves you. He loves you today. He's with us. Will you stand together with me? I'll tell you why we celebrate Christmas. It's the event of the ages. Jesus came. Jesus came. Jesus was born. Hallelujah, hallelujah.